The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. The final hour of the program has arrived. A little bit later on, we'll get an update on what the Pac-12 is thinking about doing. Until then, why don't we get back to the calls at 855-242-7285 and talk to Trampas is in Georgia. Hey, Trampas.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Paul?
We are doing great.
I was trying to figure out what would a playoff look like this year, or a championship look like this year. Would it have an asterisk on the end of it?
I don't think so. I think as long as we got in a reasonable amount of games, whatever that is, just like baseball, they're going to play 60 games as opposed to 162. I haven't heard anybody say the World Series champion is going to have an asterisk. So I think short of playing four or five games, I think it would be considered a legitimate championship.
So it would be considered a legitimate championship?
I believe so, yes, Trampas.
Okay. Well, we'll see, and I hope the season gets started.
We all do. Thanks for the call. Thank you very, very much. Robert in Tennessee is up next. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. Hey, I got two questions for you real quick. The first one, I just wanted to ask you, have you gotten any insight on what it might look like this year as far as if there is a season, which we hope there is, obviously, if the commentators will actually be there in person commentating, and two, if like even for SEC Nation College Game Day, if they're able to go. Obviously, there might not be any fans there, but is that something y'all are still looking at? Maybe location.
Let me relate to something Chris Fowler said a couple of weeks ago. He said that he does the prime time game on ABC. He said as of a couple of weeks ago that they planned on being at the location, and then I think Reese Davis was here 2 weeks ago and said that they're still working through it, but they if there's a season, that the expectation is that game day would go to locations. The question though is, where do you set up? And I've heard variations that maybe inside the stadium, but because there is no way that any college is going to let 20,000 people gather around a site like that.
Correct. Oh, and my second question is, obviously I'm a diehard Tennessee fan. Considering, it was a little rocky last year for Pruitt, but if he has another successful year this year and can lead them back to a second straight bowl victory, do you think it would be a good time or something I might need to explore as to offering him maybe a little bit longer deal? Once again, I appreciate taking my call.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think if Jeremy Pruitt has another big year, I don't think anyone wants to see him go. And I don't think that's going to be an issue. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Much appreciated. We continue, and one more thing. We're going to talk about the Pac-12's new plan with the person that broke that story. That is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Ronnie is up next in Tennessee. Ronnie, thanks.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am doing great.
Hey, I got two quick questions. One is, did I read an article correct that you and Marcus will not be on the SEC pregame show on Saturday mornings? And my second question is, when does the SEC contract come up with ESPN for college football games?
I believe the SEC contract has at least three more years. I think that's correct, maybe more. There's still a long way to go, although, as I'm sure you have read, there is a lot of negotiation going on. As far as the other thing, you are correct. Marcus is moving into the NFL genre, and I am leaving that program.
Well, don't like that. So, anyway, I think you need to hook up with Tim Brando and go to Fox and y'all do your own show together.
Well, I appreciate that. Tim would be a great partner, but I appreciate it. It's been a great show to be on. I've been on for 6 years, I hope we have a show this year. Let's talk to Jeff next. Jeff, go right ahead.
Paul Feinbaum, how you doing? Tennessee Jeff here. I'm the guy that talked to you a few years ago for the Urban Meyer rally. How you doing, man?
I do remember that. How are you?
Yes. I just got about 25 messages within the last half hour from somebody Alabama was kind of digging on me a little bit. So that's, we won't even, I'll get to that in a second. Real quick, I'll blow it out in 60 seconds. SEC, listen, the fans in SEC, I hope you let me get all this out, Paul. First of all, you're the best in the country at what you do. I'm not a big SEC guy because you know where I reside, which is in Columbus, Ohio, which is without a doubt the top two programs in college football as we speak right now, and I don't think you'll disagree with that. SEC, I'm talking Ohio State Buckeyes. No one in college football, can, you know, as far as right now, in your conference, if you put tell me if you agree with this, Paul. If you put Ohio State right now in the SEC and we play every single team week by week, nobody touches us. Knoxville. My God, Knoxville, you delusional fan base, Knoxville, Tennessee. It would be over by halftime. We'd beat you by 6 touchdowns. Now, Alabama guy, get over the 42-35 2014 Sugar Bowl. Your run is done. It's over. If you looked in the 2020 recruiting rankings lately, I don't know, where are you now? Are you in the teens somewhere?
I couldn't even find you. Jeff, I think you would find Alabama number 2 right behind Ohio State.
Yeah, because they just bumped up a little bit. That's right. Is that 21 or 20, Paul?
That's the upcoming 21.
So they're number 2 right now, right?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's replacing Ohio State, but Alabama has had an amazing haul the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, that's right. But clearly, right now, I pray to God we have a season. I don't know if we're gonna. Clearly, right now, the top 2 teams. I think Alabama's run is done. They're still going to be there. But I don't think right now anybody's going to touch Ohio State and Clemson in the next 3 or 4 years. That's just my opinion. We are stacked at every position. I go position to position. By Paul, your thoughts on Ryan Day's first season last year, and do you think Ohio State will have a season? Do you think Ohio State, do you think college football will have a season in 2020? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, right now I still think we will. And I've said this a couple of times, Jeff, I think Ryan Day is a fabulous coach. I think he is on the cusp of a national title. And I have great respect for Urban Meyer, but Ryan Day was able to do things that Urban Meyer could not do in his last 2 or 3 years there. And that's to avoid that embarrassing loss on the road against a nobody in the Big Ten. And
Iowa, take your pick. Iowa, yeah, Purdue, who do you want?
Yeah, so I think he's fabulous. I think the coaching staff is great. I agree with you. I think you're being a little shorts. You're being a little bit dismissive of Alabama, but I think right now the 3 best programs in the country are Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Right. Let's do this. You folks down in old Rocky Top, let's schedule a home and home. Let's pound you twice. Go Bucks. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, you have to wonder why a Buckeye fan is that concerned about Tennessee. But anyway, what do I know? Logan, good time to go to you in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Jesus, Paul, what the hell? That guy's crazy. Did he not even follow college football anymore?
If you remember that when Urban Meyer was on the verge of his difficulty 2 years ago, this guy was outside the football facility there with signs calling for my firing at ESPN.
The same guy? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I just had to call in because he was so out of control talking about, he had no idea that Alabama had moved up to number 2 in recruiting. So I was thinking, like, who is this guy?
Yeah, he definitely has missed it. Well, you have to remember, yeah, he's a Buckeye fan, so he's only getting the Buckeye propaganda every day.
Yeah, he needs to start watching some other programs other than whatever he's watching. But yeah, that was insane. I had to call in. I wasn't going to call in today, but when I heard that, I was like, who is this guy? I mean, we can't put up with that stuff. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, again, I'll give him a pass. I'm sure he's been busy. doing what I do not know.
He's probably been working pretty hard to probably try to get Urban Meyer back in there. I don't know. What is Urban Meyer doing nowadays? Is he
Urban Meyer is he's living the good life. I talked to a friend of his the other day. He's Fox's he's on the Fox pregame show. He's doing a lot of speaking and writing. I don't think Urban's knocking himself out too much.
No, I doubt he never did. I mean, I don't know. Do you think? I mean, there's rumors that he's going to take over USC. Do you think that's going to happen?
I'm beginning to doubt that. I don't think there is a tremendous appetite in California for Urban Meyer.
I just don't think the guy wants to work. I mean, unless he comes into a beautiful situation, I mean, he's just not, I don't know. I shouldn't say too many bad things about him, but I've always thought he was kind of a scumbag, personally, Ball. So I hate to say it.
I don't know, Logan. I'm just shocked that somebody would call Urban Meyer a scumbag. That's disappointing.
Really?
Of course, I would never do anything like that.
I know you wouldn't. I know, Paul. That's just me, and that's me saying what I think. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put that over the airwaves. But I don't know. I do apologize to Urban and his family, but, yeah, not a big fan.
All good. Hey, thanks. Thanks, Logan. Good to have you on. We're up against a break. More to come as we continue. The phone number is 855-242-7285. We'll talk about the Pac-12 tomorrow. Alex Berenson will rejoin us. You may remember him from a couple of months ago. John Wilner is coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back here and a couple of minutes away from talking to the man that broke the big story today about the Pac-12. And right now let's go to Peter in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Peter.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Peter, thank you. Doing great.
Hey, Paul, so I'm a diehard Alabama fan, and I just want to say that, you know, it seems like a while since we won a national championship, and I'm worried that Saban doesn't have it anymore. What do you think?
Well, I think he still has it. You know, there's a reason why he didn't win last year. He was up against maybe the best team we've ever seen in LSU, and the quarterback situation didn't help in the Auburn game. The year before, I just think he had a poor game plan, and his team went sideways against Clemson. I mean, remember, going into that game, Alabama was undefeated. They were 14-0. I mean, so I would not say Nick Saban doesn't have it. I think the better question is, how much time does he have left?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just real difficult to be able to tell you know, what he wants to do with the program, because Mac Jones is the most talented quarterback, I feel like. And, you know, we have, like, a lot of potential, and, like, our recruiting's been real well. But I've just kind of lost faith in, like, what the team can produce. And I think Bear Bryant would be disgusted.
Well, I don't think Bear Bryant would be disgusted, but I appreciate your call. I think Bear Bryant would be fairly impressed knowing how difficult it is. Frank is up next in Utah. Hey, Frank, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Quick comment on an earlier caller who spoke about TV and radio people being impacted. You know, brings to mind there must be millions of people that are involved in Division III college all the way up to Division I, concessioners and parking attendants and all of the people involved in the stadium operations for all these games. That's just a quick comment.
No, you're right. I mean, there are. I mean, the college football industry is massive. You go from, I mean, just within a community, no matter where it is, doesn't matter where it is, whether it's in Provo, Utah or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the restaurants, the hotels, the subsets of those, it's literally incredible the amount of money that is produced on a college football weekend. And even if we have the season on time, that is going to be dramatically impacted. And if we don't have a season, it's going to be a complete wipeout.
Sure. Hey, my reason for calling was initially, I feel bad for a lot of these high school players who are not going to get to expose themselves during this fall season, maybe into the spring. Certainly, colleges have probably already looked at the current senior class. But, you know, these juniors that are waiting to make their mark and get recruited, wow, I think that picture is really skewed by this virus.
You're right. I agree. I agree with you, Frank. The impact is endless, but I think you just labeled one of the most dramatic. And I was interviewed the other day by a national newspaper, and they asked me, Frank, what are you going to do if there isn't a season? I said, we're not allowed to think about that. So. But the repercussions and the cause and the effect are endless. You're completely correct. And I thank you very much for calling. Let's continue. G is up next in Tennessee. G, thanks. Great to have you on.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
I'm a first-time caller from I live in Texas. I'm from the big great state of Tennessee. Huge Tennessee fan and a good fan of your show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, we hear from like ADs, coaches, writers, analysts, etc. But we really don't hear from the players, you know, as their opinions, you know. And in the NFL, it's a much easier situation where there's contracts and they can sign a waiver. But in college, you think that maybe there was a waiver that we could possibly, that we could possibly move this season forward?
I don't think the waiver is really the issue, G. Some schools did try a waiver. Others realized it was not a good look optically. I think everything is going to come down to the next few weeks and just in terms of where we are. And I just looked at some numbers today. And again, people can argue the numbers, but whether we argue or not, the commissioners and the athletic directors are looking at these things every single day. And so are the public health officials who are making determinations. And the worst place in the country the last two or three days has been the South. The numbers there are higher. Three quarters of the deaths today from COVID came from the South, and that has to be concerning. Let's hope same thing happens in this part of the country that happened in other parts. But this is all happening as these decisions are being made, which I think is leading some to believe that they won't make a decision next week. They will simply pause and delay longer, hoping that the numbers reverse.
You know, Paul, there was a previous caller on your show that was like, you know, we need to keep the kids in mind and keep them first, etc. But I bet if you poll these kids, a lot of them are ready to get those paychecks, you know, and they're ready to play some football and do what they do. I'd just be real curious if you guys could possibly get some of those real college players, you know, in some interviews.
I've tried to contact people that know what's going on, and I would say you are correct. I would say the majority of young people want to play football. I mean, why wouldn't they? I also think there are some concerns because they have already seen a number of their teammates get this virus. And fortunately, the overwhelming, if not all, have gotten through it very well.
Right.
May not have affected them at all. But there are concerns. I don't want to sound like a doctor here. I'm not. But nobody really knows what impact anything is going to have on them until maybe later. But I don't think they're concerned about that. I mean, I know the two of us, if you took us back to being 17 years, I mean, I wasn't concerned about anything at 17 other than having enough money to go out and do something.
Same here. Same here. Well, I appreciate your thoughts and love your show.
Thank you.
Appreciate you for having
Thank
me
you
on.
So much. Really appreciate that a lot. Greg is up next in Florida. Hey, Greg. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well.
Yeah, I'm in Florida hiding out with this jackass of a governor we got down here. But I just wanted to say I agree with you what you had said weeks ago about Mike Leach. He had no problem telling everybody that had a microphone near his face when he was at Washington State about his support for Trump. And now he comes to Mississippi State, and your best player has a concern, and you're hiding under your desk somewhere. It's like, has anybody even seen him or heard from him?
Well, in fairness, he did go to Jackson with all the other football coaches and athletic directors to lobby the State House as a result of Kyle and Hill. I thought Leach was a little bit late to that party. We talked to a reporter who said that Leach reacted after the newspaper in Jackson had called him and asked him why he had not said anything. But I mean, let's cut to the chase on Mike Leach. He doesn't beat to the same drum that the rest of us do.
No, and I hope he knows that Lane Kiffin and some of the other guys in recruiting are going to use that against him come recruiting time.
I would say it's entirely possible. You're right. It's still hard to tell because I think Leach has a pretty good team. He was able to get a critically important component of the quarterback from the West Coast that is expected to start for the Bulldogs. But I think there's a lot about Leach we don't know. I mean, he is he's a brilliant football coach, but his personality is quirky at best.
Yeah, and then another thing, like what you were saying earlier, your last call about with the athletes that not knowing what the long-term effects is I started thinking, what happens if a guy gets it, and of course he survives, but he has some effect with his lung capacity where he's not able to run as fast as he used to.
Yeah, I will tell you this. I communicated indirectly. I heard from some players who had it. And they admitted that it took them a little bit of time before they were up to speed. But we're talking about elite athletes here, where if you're a wide receiver, a millimeter of time is going to be all the difference between you being successful and not. It could be a big deal. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
What do you tell these kids when these coaches decide on scholarships, and they decide that, well, this guy's not running the way he used to, and then they decide they want to take a scholarship after he went out and sacrificed himself to go out there and play the game.
Greg, that's a good point. It really is. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We have to break here because we have an important guest coming in just a moment. The writer who broke the story today that everybody in college athletics is talking about, John Wilner from the Mercury News, the go-to guy in the West Coast. We'll talk to him about the new plans that could impact everyone.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Big story breaking today from our next guest, John Wilner from the Mercury News, who is just absolutely the go-to person for news of the Pac-12 and in college football. And we'll let John tell exactly what he reported as we welcome John back to our show. John, thanks so much for making time for us. I know it is a very busy time out there covering the vagaries of college football. Good afternoon.
Thanks a ton for having me, Paul. Hope you're well.
We are. Let's talk a little bit about what you reported today and so many people are reacting to. You're talking about a number of things, but the thing that is most striking is a later start and variables that are seemingly endless, although they're really not.
Right. Well, I think starting on December 19th, playing 10 conference games are interesting. To me, the key to the whole thing is the flexibility that they're trying to give themselves. So the conference championship is currently scheduled for the weekend of December 5th, but they have secured the new Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas for three weekends in December. So they could push their championship game back to the weekend of the 19th if they have to, if they need those weekends in December to play makeup games. And I think that is, if there's going to be a college football season, it is going to be because, the virus is under control, but the teams and the conferences have given themselves enough flexibility to kind of roll with the punches, so to speak. And that's what the Pac-12 is trying to do.
John, one thing about where you live, it's not only a decision by commissioners and administrators, there is a political angle to it all. How does that play into everything that is currently going on?
Well, as of right now, there hasn't been much on that front lately. And I think part of that's because, the teams have been in a holding pattern, not the professional and the college teams. Now, where I live, Santa Clara County, the 49ers just announced today that they will be able to start their training camp up here soon. And that's a positive sign. If Stanford is also in Santa Clara County. I think the bigger issue out here is LA and is Arizona, to be honest. I mean, the Arizona numbers are, on a per capita basis, worse than they are in California. But I tend to think that we're not going to see Gavin Newsom, with an iron fist telling these teams that they absolutely can't play. I think it's going to be a little bit more nuanced, and the decisions will be made at the college level between the presidents and the local health departments. I don't know that there's going to be a statewide edict, so to speak, because there's big differences in the cases between Northern and Southern California.
And John, let me move on to that, because the presidents in the Pac-12, I'm not trying to differentiate them from anywhere else, but I mean, these are some really amazing academic institutions, and presidents think differently out there. I saw where the Arizona president, I think he's a doctor, where he they are still planning on bringing students back in various manners. But how does that group operate? And as they look around the country, especially in two schools in Arizona, two schools in Southern California. I mean, I think Oregon is still part of this country, although I get confused sometimes watching the news. How do you think they're going to come to the table at some point and view this issue, even with what you've reported today?
I think that they will sign off on this schedule as planned, and then everybody is going to kind of wait another month and cross their fingers and hope these guys can show up for training camp and a season can start. The dynamic at the president level is interesting. They have formed a coronavirus advisory board that's got a ton of public health officials and immunologists and vaccinologists, and they're advising the conference. If this were 6 or 8 years ago, I would think there is zero chance that they will sign off on football. But there has been a turnover at the president level. And in fact, Robert Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona, who announced today that they're moving on schedule for hybrid classes in August, he's an Ole Miss guy.
Right.
And he grew up an SEC fan. And Kirk Schultz, who is the president of Washington State, and he is the Pac-12's representative on the College Football Playoff Management Council, he was president of Kansas State. There's been a change, and there are more presidents now that they have college football in their blood, so to speak. And I think that, you know, they're going to do what they think is safest for their campuses and for the kids and rely on that board. But I think that they, you know, they're more football fans, and they understand the importance and the value that football has in the community and on campus. So I would say that compared to 6 or 8 years ago, it probably tilts a little bit more in favor of them deciding to play.
Yeah, I mean, based on what you're saying, I mean, these people may have canceled the season back in May for all, you know, if you go back in time. I'm curious, John, you know, we saw the Pac-12 react very quickly to what the Big Ten did 2 weeks ago with conference only. Do you think the Big Ten is looking at similar things that what you reported today, or do you think Kevin Warren is going to pause and wait? I mean, he's already said conference only, so that could mean a lot of things, especially in relation to the start of the season.
I don't know if the Big Ten is going to peg September 19th as the start of their season, and I'm also I don't know how much flexibility they have for moving their championship game around. But my guess is that my understanding is that they are hoping for a nine or ten game conference schedule. But the whole thing at that level, Paul, is really interesting to me, how the five commissioners were basically in alignment, and then the Big Ten kind of moved out ahead. And I've been wondering, you know, I'm curious what you think. Would that have happened if Jim Delaney was still the commissioner? Because Delaney's got, you know, much deeper ties with some of the other commissioners, and I wonder if he may have felt more compelled to try to have everybody move at once, whereas the Big Ten kind of got out ahead of everybody a couple of weeks ago.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, John. I'll tell a story. Not that I realize you're our guest, but after Mike Slive's funeral 2 years ago, Jim Delaney walked up. He was actually with Larry Scott, and he looked at me. I had delivered the eulogy and had made some reference to Delaney being in the audience and the rivalry that he and Commissioner Slive had. And he looked at me and said, you know, I'm sure you know what I'm about to tell you, but Mike and I were actually very close friends. We played that rivalry up for whatever it was worth, but we worked countless times behind the scenes and never really wanted anyone to know it. And I think you're right about that, John. And you know, what's interesting about Warren is what prompted him to do that. And we're 2 weeks later, we both have talked to a lot of people. I still can't quite understand what that was about.
No, I can't either. I know that Northwestern's president is in charge of the Big Ten Council, and they have been, maybe erring on the conservative side a little bit as this whole process has gone along. But it certainly was interesting, and I don't believe, you know, the Pac-12 announced the next day, right? The Big Ten said no non-conference games, and that was a Thursday. The next day, the Pac-12 made the same announcement. The Pac-12 had previously scheduled its meeting of the presidents, so it was not a response to what the Big Ten had done, the meeting itself. Then they start the meeting, you know, and Larry Scott gets on there, and he tells the presidents that he's been diagnosed with COVID. And my understanding is that brought a fairly somber as you can understand, you know, note to the proceedings. But I am not sure at all that the Pac-12 would have announced that day, July 10th, I think, that it was canceling its non-conference schedule if the Big Ten hadn't done it the day before. I think the Pac-12 was planning on waiting until the end of the month, which is what the Big, you know, Big 12, SEC, and ACC had been planning on doing all along. And then the Big Ten just kind of sped up that process, maybe combined with Larry Scott's diagnosis, I'm not sure. And so now all of a sudden we've got this bifurcation of the Power Five, and it's going to be interesting to see how they can piece everything back together.
Yeah, because the other three seemed the other three conferences just seemed determined to continue. Yep. We were talking to somebody today, and I think I heard that TCU was trying to schedule a game with someone out there, maybe Vegas.
UNLV.
Yeah. So I mean, what I can't understand the logic of that when the likelihood of a week zero game is pretty slim right now. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. UNLV now has that opening because they were going to play Cal that day.
Right.
I believe in the new stadium, and so they had an opening, and TCU's, I guess, looking for a game. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see the contracts for some of these games now, you know, in terms of the liability situation. But yeah, I got a hard time believing that's going to take place, because those kids would have to start training camp in a week for that game to happen. But it's very interesting. You know, Larry Scott and Greg Sankey were on a webinar in May together, and it was Sankey was, you know, very eloquent in explaining why they didn't want to make a decision on anything until they absolutely had to make a decision on that particular point. So they waited as long as they could before they decided when to start the return to campus. Wait as long as you can before you decide about training camp. Wait as long as you can before you decide about the season. And the SEC has stuck to that plan, and as have the ACC and Big 12. And then there goes the Big Ten, you know, weeks ahead of everybody else making its decision.
John Wilner of the Mercury News, just an incredible story today. John, I can't we could talk all day, and I hope you'll come back soon. Please, we really appreciate you making time.
Anytime, Paul. Thanks for having me. Stay safe.
Just thank you so much. What an incredible guest. And we are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.